Chapter 1. Drugs that make you appear dead have some shit after effects. Temporary paralysis, monster headache, confusion, delirium, and dog breath, to name a few. Worth it for anyone wanting to remove themselves from their old life. Or so Tony had gambled. Now, hours after he'd taken the drugs, he regained consciousness, cracked open bleary eyes, and slammed them shut against stabbing, red-hot poker sunlight. Not for nothing, a jackhammer had mated with a battering ram to create whatever worked the inside of his skull right now. Licking dry lips with a sandpaper tongue, he tasted copper and salt. Blood. He forced his eyelids open, blinked away tears. Above, a vaulted ceiling was crossed by ancient wood beams. His gaze rolled across the room. The mutilated backs of bullet-torn leather couches, blood-soaked yellow drapes, the smell of death's bowels, the lingering scent of gunpowder. What the hell had happened here? Like an old Ford on a below-zero January morning, his drug-addled brain misfired, turned over, and restarted. Oh, fuck. Right. That shit in Mexico. Take out sex slavers. Fake your own death. That explained the sour stench, the empty pit in his stomach, and the stone silence. A room full of dead sex traffickers weren't generally loud. And just like that, the brutal event that had sent him to this very room put on gloves, stepped into his mental boxing ring, and pounded him with heavy blows. His sister, Justice. The shot. The kid. Brown eyes, nervous as hell. So young. Shit. He recoiled, but was unable to stop the attack. You'd think the jumpy, aggressive, snot-nosed guard was the one who was half-naked, unarmed, and being marched into the Mexican compound of a sex slaver to perform. So young he still had acne, the kid shoved Tony as he walked him and Victor to the golf cart that would take them inside. Tony cringed. If young and pimply wanted to avoid the wrath of Justice, whose scope was on him, and who took a threat seriously, he needed to stop acting like a macho idiot. Because as agitated as this guy seemed, it was nothing compared to Justice, who wanted into the compound to save her boyfriend and destroy the sex slaver who'd killed her biological sister. Reasons number one and two, she should have been nowhere near this operation. From the very beginning, he'd said she was too close to this mission. He'd said it as she'd made mistakes. He'd said it as he'd come up with an alternate plan. He'd said it as she'd nearly gotten herself and others killed again and again. Hell, he'd even written it down in a letter to Mama. But when no one in his family of female vigilantes had listened, he'd stopped talking and had done something about it. He'd tried everything in his power to stop Jay's mission, keep her safe, organized his plan, sent word to Waleed, let him know where to go to escape Justice, and it hadn't worked. He'd wound up in the role of betrayer. Now the only way to survive his family's wrath was to fake his own death. That was if he actually survived long enough to fake his death. Tony's naked cheeks hit the striped vinyl golf cart seat, and the compound alarm went off. That blaring pulse kicked the guards into action. Wearing an FBI baseball cap and the attitude only a 6'3" jacked dude can manage, his inside man, Dusty, ordered him and Victor out and down onto their knees. Come on, dude. Sure, Dusty had to make it look like he wasn't in cahoots with anyone, but that didn't mean he had to make Tony look guilty as hell. Tony's knees hit the ground with a thud. Alarm. Jittery guards. Not a good combination. Young and pimply bent over, got in his face, and lifted him to his feet. Knock it off, he told the kid in Spanish, gesturing with his hands, maybe a little too dramatically. The kid startled, reached for his gun. Tony's eyes widened. Don't! Pop. Kid's head exploded. and then the next closest guard went down. All hell broke loose. His stomach roiling, his mind reeling, Tony took off. What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? He ran toward the closest building. He needed another plan. He needed another plan quick. Victor caught up with him. What are we doing now?
We?
Actually, he could use Victor. Station him somewhere as backup while Tony made his way to Walid. If he could convince that psycho that he was on his side, tell him he was the one who sent the initial warning, he was, offer him his brother's real killer, get close enough to administer the poison, he could keep Justice and the rest of them from getting killed. Lots of ifs, but it was a plan. Tony groaned as the memories reasserted themselves in his mind, lodging their concrete presence in his brain. Going to Walid, pretending to turn on Justice and Mama, an act even Justice had bought, and then the bloody battle in this very room. The entire mission could have gone so much more smoothly, if only... Didn't matter, now. The important part was Walid was dead. The guy deserved to die for his crimes, his abuse of women. Most importantly, for hurting his sister, Justice. She'd never forgotten. She'd grown up determined to take vengeance. But as she'd gotten closer to that goal, she'd become obsessed. Everyone around her, including him, feared her quest would destroy her. Though everyone in his family's secret society, the League of Warrior Women, because it was all adopted women except him and Rome, had decided to let Justice give it a go, he hadn't. Regret constructed a monument to his mistakes that stretched to the sky. How had wanting to save his sister's life turned him into a supervillain? He shifted. A series of sharp pains reported back to him in stinging waves as his nerve endings fired brutal rebukes at him. Yeah, yeah, just shake it off. Judging by the rising sun, it was near dawn. Made sense. The powerful drug he'd taken to make him appear dead had been designed to keep him out for hours, so his family, his sisters, would be long gone. Thing about being a vigilante, you didn't stick around after a job. A flood of relief swept his body as it really sunk in. They were gone. They'd left him. His two biggest fears had been his sisters would try to take what they thought was his dead body back home, or bury him alive in the dry earth of Mexico. As far as those two options went, the first had been more terrifying. The second meant he'd have gone to sleep permanently. The first meant they'd take him home, realize he wasn't dead, rob him of his memories, and replace them with who they thought he should be. No fucking thanks. His body came back online enough that he suddenly sensed the pain in his awkwardly bent leg. So numb he couldn't move it. He reached down, grabbed a fistful of the green cargo pants he'd borrowed from one of Walid's guards, and moved his leg straight. Leg must have folded under him when he'd fallen. Blood flowed back to the limb. Being stabbed hurt less. S.O.B. Dagger-sharp pins and needles lanced his thigh and calf. Biting off a curse, he rubbed at his leg. A figure crossed into the room. No fucking way. Why was this dude still here? The ex-FBI guy and Tony's inside man, Dusty, walked over to where Tony lay behind the couch. He was carrying a tarp.
What the fuck?
Dusty jumped back, dropped the tarp, and took out his gun.
You're not dead.
So not what he wanted to deal with when his stomach gave him the middle finger and pins and needles jabbed his leg, teetering him between laughter and tears. He wiped at his tearing eyes and sat up, dizzy like that time he'd stumbled onto a vomit comet after downing 16 shots of tequila. Yeah, that had been a mistake. This might have been too. He put a hand to his throbbing temple, drove his fingers up and around to his aching neck.
They teach you those kinds of expert evaluations in the Bureau.
Throat was so dry. Dusty kept his weapon out, not pointed at Tony, just out. Uptight. Maybe this was his first encounter with the living dead.
What's going on, Tony?
I'm stalling, trying to figure out my next move. Probably shouldn't go with that. Dusty wasn't stupid, and their partnership had really been an exercise in both of them using each other. Dusty had pretended he'd wanted to become a vigilante in order to get an in with Tony's family, so he could take out Mama's Black Ops organization, the League of Warrior Women. Tony had pretended he'd bought Dusty's ex-FBI cover so he could have someone working here who wasn't a member of his family. Dusty had been a useful tool, but him knowing Tony had faked his death was not an option.
The poison I gave Waleed must not have worked on me.
Dusty brought his gun down, frowned, and looked back toward the doorway.
Your sisters. We should call them. Let them know you're alive.
This was a problem. Dude was big, like gladiator big, and Tony was in no shape to take him on. But he still had one advantage. Guy had no idea what was going on. And it wasn't like Tony hadn't considered the problem that he might wake up in Mexico with someone nearby. Oh, hell. Rubbing his side, he worked his fingers under the waist of his pants to his live entertainer G-string. Most humiliating cover ever. He pulled out the syringe from inside a sex tool.
Just help me up.
Dusty put his gun away, shook his head, stunned.
Lucky son of a bitch.
Tony rolled his hand in a tell-me-something-I-don't-know manner. He didn't feel lucky. Felt like a total douche. According to his chemist sister, Zuri, the first step in erasing a memory was getting someone to recall the memory. The drug he had would disrupt the stored memory, allowing Tony to replace it.
Must have been scary to walk in here and find me alive. You okay?
Dusty came over and gave him a hand.
Guarantee you it's not a regular occurrence.
Tony took the offered hand, stood up, and brought his other hand toward Dusty's shoulder as if to steady himself. Actually helped. Leg was still kind of numb. He stabbed Dusty with the point of the instrument and at the same time pretended to fall.
Sorry, didn't mean to scratch you.
Dusty supported him.
Dagger claw he got there.
Tony got his feet under him, slipped off Dusty's gun. Dusty reared back, rubbed at his neck, stumbled.
You...
Dusty fell on his ass, sat there blinking and blank. After a few more minutes, he was completely malleable. Bending over him, Tony edited the story of what had happened. And whenever Dusty looked confused or uncertain of this version, Tony repeated, "Leave it be, man. Leave it be." He did this until when asked what had happened, Dusty would look confused, shake his head, and whisper,
"Leave it be, man. Leave it be."
Once he was sure the guy's memory was disrupted, knowing that nothing happening now would be recorded, Tony put him into a chokehold and put him to sleep.
Poor guy. Well, he wouldn't remember any of this, not for a while, anyway. And by the time he did, Tony would be long gone, having set sail for warm beaches.